I'd like us to look very briefly at Psalm 29. Psalm 29, which is a psalm of David. It's not a very long psalm, just 11 verses, but a magnificent psalm as it looks at something of the glory of God as seen in a thunderstorm. The psalm opens and finishes with people praising God, but in the middle is a very graphic description of how the psalmist saw a thunderstorm. It was probably David as he was sitting out one day looking after the sheep. Who knows? But a person who saw this thunderstorm approaching from the northwest, coming down from the Mediterranean and then moving down over the hills of Lebanon, passing right down through the land of Palestine and then out across the barren regions of the south and disappearing into the southeastern deserts. And he looks at this thunderstorm and he sees what happens. And to him, it is an expression of the glory and the power of God. Let us just read it through. It opens in verse 1 with a great ascription of praise to God. It's as if the praise of God or this thunderstorm is heard in the great auditorium of heaven where we find angelic beings engaged in the worship of God, in the praise of God. And so these heavenly beings are gathered around the great throne of God, ascribing to him praise. And David sees this thunderstorm, and then he adds his praise to God in this great auditorium of heaven. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name, and worship the Lord in holy array. This impressive dignity of the great angelic court of heaven, clothed in brightness and bowing down before the great God. Now he just leaves it there. That's the introduction. And now his eye shifts from this glorious, exalted God in the heavenly realms to the world of nature down below where he lives. And he sees this glory of God displayed in a thunderstorm, a very devastating storm. And people tend to look at storms and say evil things about God. But here is a man who knows God, and he sees in this just the opposite. He sees it as something which causes him to fall upon his face and worship the God of glory and power. Verse 3, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The thunder is gathering. The voice of the Lord, of course, is the thunder. God is thundering, and he sees it gathering over the waters, over the Mediterranean out there to the northwest. The storm is building up. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon many waters. Verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty as the intensity builds up and it's rumbling and lightning's flashing and it's approaching. And he sees in this something of the amazing power and glory of God. Verse 5. The storm now breaks. It has hit the coast and it moves across the coast of Lebanon and it breaks the cedars of Lebanon. Just like that, these great cedars of Lebanon that they skited about, the strongest trees in the earth, the best timber, and all sorts of other things, and it snaps them as if they're matchsticks. It breaks the cedars of Lebanon. And in verse 6, he makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Syrian, which is Mount Hermon, to skip like a young wild ox. As you look at the trees from some vantage point, he's obviously on a hill here that he can see a vast distance in both directions. And as he sees this storm breaking and all the trees being tossed around and twisting and turning, it's as if there are a whole lot of animals skipping around, skipping like a calf, skipping like a young wild ox. The tremendous fury, the power of God unleashed in this storm. Verse 7, not only thunder but lightning. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness, shaking it. All the trees just being shaken like that. Great monsters that had been there for hundreds of years perhaps. And they're just being shaken as if a giant has all these things in his hand and just shakes them as I would shake a handful of grass. and the thunder and the trembling as booming sounds go and as lightning flashes and wind blows and the whole forest is just being tossed around. And so the storm moves down across Israel. Verse 8, it shakes the wilderness, and it shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. And then he sees it moving south through the barren regions in verse 9, making the oaks to whirl, those mighty oak trees. And they're just being whirled around as if they're grass blowing in the wind. And he strips the forest bare. All the leaves, branches, trees lying all over the place. The whole thing stripped. And all in his temple cries, "Glory." He just looks at it and he is stunned. Glory. The glory of God. Even in that he can see this power of the glorious God, and he looks at that and he can do nothing but fall on his knees and say, "What a God." This temple, the temple of course not being the literal temple, but the temple of nature, the world that he's looking out on from his vantage point in the hills, and he sees the whole thing settle, and then the storm has passed, and you get that weird light and that strange feeling. Glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood, God of the seas, God of the land, God of the winds, God of the storm, God of the lightning. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. And the focus of all attention now is back to the Lord enthroned, as we were in the first couple of verses, there in heaven. And all the angelic beings ascribing to him glory and strength. He sees that God. Now he returns to the picture of that God in heaven, and he sees him sitting enthroned in eternal glory and strength and power. But the point of the psalm is the very last verse. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. And that to the psalmist is the greatest indication of God's blessing. God sitting eternally enthroned and bestowing his gifts upon men. The picture is this, that the great power and glory of God is displayed in nature in all its wild fury. And yet he says, the greatest demonstration of God's glory and power is of this one sitting eternally enthroned and giving strength to his people. Now the strength of his people, well, when you think of strength in human terms, we lift a few chairs and we push a few things around and we dig in the garden and do things like this. And we've just seen this, the power of nature in this psalm of this storm, and all broke the cedars and did all these things. This very same one, he says, still sits enthroned. And the same one who displays this impressive power in nature also gives strength to his people. When it's all boiled down, the great power of God, he says, though it's displayed in the wild fury of nature, yet nothing can equal that power of God as it's displayed to his people, in giving his people strength, in God blessing his people with peace. Reading through the psalm, we didn't see much about peace. And yet somehow it's driven David to see that this one who has such impressive might is the very same one who is above nature and can encourage his people with the assurance that he who can do this in nature is the very same one who can come into the lives of his people, and he can give them a strength and a power that they won't get anywhere else, and he can bring them a peace that they won't get anywhere else. And that is the demonstration of the glory of God and the power of God and the love of God and the might of God and the wisdom of God, as his people draw upon the resources which their God has. Oh, ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength, ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name, worship him in holy array, because the Lord sits enthroned. He sits enthroned as a king, And yet he also gives strength to his people, and he blesses his people with peace. "Peace I give to you," said Jesus. "My peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. And so let not your heart be troubled. This is our God."